94 WIP Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today on this Thursday. Hugh, are you going to go to the Phillies game in a few weeks where Nelly is doing the post-game concert down at CBP?
Nope.
No?
I mean, I'm a Nelly fan, too. Back in the day, he was, you know, I remember he had...
Country Grammar?
Tip Drill.
Okay.
Shot that at Ray Buchanan's house. Because I used to live in Atlanta, right? And
yeah.
I remember when they were shooting that video, everybody was talking about, you know, coming through. And I was like, nah, that probably ain't a good look.
Wait, they were shooting a video at Ray Buchanan's house?
Tip Drill was shot at Ray Buchanan's house.
I did not know that.
In the pool.
Why didn't you go, man? That would have been awesome.
Have you ever seen the video of Tom Kelly?
I have not.
Okay. Well, go look at the video.
Okay.
And just know that the video, like, it was like a party. And back in the day, because that's what you used to do. You used to go to people's pool parties and stuff like that. So
still a thing.
Well, it's different in Atlanta.
Oh, God.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
All right, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it's a little different. And it's a little different. It was a different time.
I feel am I wrong? But I feel like Nelly's a pretty big get to get for, like, a post-game concert. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure people are going to have fun. It's going to be great. That's probably, probably not.
Maybe a little past his prime, but yeah. Nelly's still pretty popular.
He just joined the old-ass daddy club, too. He just had a baby with Ashanti.
Oh, so really?
Yeah, he just joined the old-ass daddy club.
Oh, he's with Ashanti now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Damn, Tom, where you been?
I've been running that
failing-ass restaurant, huh?
Hey, I've evolved now. Now I'm an owner of a Planet Fitness. I just don't go in there, no, right? That's what the guy said?
Yep.
That was mean, too.
Whoever did that, that was a gym. That was probably the gym of the week.
215-592-9494. Please, you people, let me know what I look like today. Like, what profession I look like. That could be a fun bit.
Yeah, we're lacking in that. Okay. We need some more.
We need people to suggest what is a sad profession that I look like I partake in. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot about Bryce Harper today. His impact yesterday. 4 extra base hits, 3 doubles, 1 home run. Does that make you feel better about the team as a whole?
Yes.
Would have been so much more effective, man. It was so close to being a great yes. But
no,
because
I didn't want to cough on the air. So
that's
all good.
That's good.
So Hugh and Kyle say yes. I say no. I still need to see more from the rest of the guys on this team. And coming up in a few minutes, we will get to a few very, juicy, trade deadline reports, one from a national writer, one from a local writer, but really, I think, sheds light into what the Phillies' thinking is, what Dave Dombrowski's thinking is as we head toward this deadline. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Mark in Folsom. What's up, Mark?
I just wanted to call and talk about the Thompson's availability to, change things up a little. I think from a position player perspective, he's got a lot of options. I think the Phillies' problem was they spent a real lot of money on Kepler, and he's certainly no Marsh. They could have Marsh left, and they could have spent all that money on a lights-out closer. Or if they were going to spend money on a left fielder, they should have got a right-handed left fielder. Their lineup is deficient from a right-handed power-hitting perspective. And, I can't blame the manager for that.
Yeah, and that's where I am, Mark. I just look at the issues that you have. And I feel like, especially in recent weeks, people put a lot on Rob Thompson, this decision here, this decision there. But the bottom line is the pieces that he has to work with just aren't all that good.
Well, I think Stott and Sosa are both excellent. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of second basemen on any team in the league that are better than either of those guys. And I think Marsh is thrown under the bus by the fan base a lot. But, I mean, he's a 265, 270 hitter that, they say is one of the best defensive left fielders in the game. I know he has a little bit of problems sometimes in center. But, I mean, there's not a lot of teams with better guys than them. I think Stott is going to be really good.
It sounds like perspective to me, TK.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too positive about the perspective here. But, Mark, I mean, we've been waiting for Stott for a few years, though. I thought Stott was going to have a bounce-back year. He was dealing with the elbow thing last season. But, I mean, this year he just has not been very good offensively.
Well, he's a 250, 260 hitter. He plays his position well. and he's got a little bit of pop when you need him. I mean, how many second basemen are more than that?
Yeah, but
we're not talking about a corner outfielder.
But Mark Stott hasn't been that this year, though. Like, he's not hitting 260 this year.
No, but he will by the end of the year, and he'll have his 10 or 12 home runs. I mean, come on.
You sure?
Well, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, what's he batting, 245, 250?
Right now he's hitting 240. He's hitting 240 with six homers.
All right, well.
And a 311 on base percentage.
Yeah, well, they yanked him around a little bit in the lineup, which kind of probably discombobulated him a bit. I mean, you go to bat and lead off in the beginning of the year, and then they put him down the bottom. He'll be fine.
Oh. I hear you, Mark. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in.
He's being optimistic.
Like, moving guys in the order is going to mess him up. I think we put way too much stock into that. Like, okay, some days you're going to hit at the top. Some days you're going to hit in the middle, hit at the bottom. When you go up to the plate, hit. I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, and I think that for the most part, when we were moving guys around, they did a pretty good job of that when they were asked to do certain things. It wasn't like some guys pushed back a little bit, but, you know, for the most part, I think they did the job when they were asked to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, the players do need to perform, and I just think when it comes to Thompson, I just think he takes way too much heat for where this team is at. I mean, it's not like he's dealing with an all-star team. It's not like this team is, like, I would say, underperforming necessarily, according to the talent that they have. Like, with the talent that they have, I think he's kind of getting the most out of the talent.
I think he's done a tremendous job, but the unfortunate thing for him is that for us fans, we kind of know the outcome, or we think we know what the outcome is going to be, because the last couple of seasons, these bats went cold at the wrong time. So that's where the concern lies.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on Rob Thompson, the job he's done, you're welcome to. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But did want to get to the trade deadline, because a couple interesting reports came out this morning. First, Jeff Passan of ESPN did a little piece where, for all the teams in contention, he put out their best kind of match in the trade deadline market and the weaknesses that they have. And a couple guys that he suggested for the Phillies, Emmanuel Clase, closer in Cleveland, been one of the best closers the last couple of years, and Stephen Kwan, the outfielder from Cleveland. We talked about Kwan a little bit the other day, didn't really mention Class A, but he says maybe it would take Andrew Painter, maybe Aiden Miller, maybe Justin Crawford, but thinks Class A is the best match for the Phillies. What do you think of those
three
two
for
guys?
One?
Well, I don't think, no, it wouldn't be a three
you
for
mean
one.
You mean one of those guys?
Yeah, one of those guys were, I mean, if you could put together a package and get both, that would probably take all three.
I'm still Painter. I think he's the future, and I know you want the future to be now. But when you talk about, for me, the potential of losing as many pitchers as you can possibly lose in the offseason, you know, when you talk about Ranger and everything, and you know, don't know what you get with Nola. Bottom line is, no, I don't want to trade Painter. That to me is, no, I don't want to trade Painter.
And I mean, Kwan and Class A, they're obviously guys who could help this team, but it does come down to the Painter part of it. And Matt Gelb also released a piece this morning, which is pretty interesting, of The Athletic, where he talks about the Phillies have kind of come to the determination that they are more in a win-now mode. They're willing to part with some of these top prospects. Now, according to Matt Gelb, and this infuriates me, that they're only essentially focused on the bullpen at this point. They're not really looking to add a bat. I mean, to me, you need to add both. You need to add bullpen pieces. You need to add a bat to this lineup. But that really is the question. Would you trade Andrew Painter in the right deal? If the Phillies are more in a win-now mode, would you trade a guy like Painter to win this season? And if we want to get into 1-592-9494, you're slamming the buzzer, Kyle. I wouldn't the right deal. I'm not going to give him away. But if you can get a difference-making bat for Andrew Painter, I'm absolutely entertaining it.
What, in your opinion, is the difference-making bat? Like, I don't... All the names that we know of that are available at the deadline, I'm not even considering moving Andrew Painter forth. Like, there's no Juan Soto-caliber player that's available. Obviously, if that's out there, then yeah, I think you pull the trigger and deal Andrew Painter. But I don't know. But the future of Ranger Suarez, not very certain here. Also, like, I don't know if I want them to sign him necessarily. Like, he does have a little bit of an injury history. Jesus Sardo's got 1 year left. They need Andrew Painter on this roster at least next season. Whether it's this year or not, I don't know. But Andrew Painter is like the best pitching prospect that the Phillies have had, I think, in my lifetime. There's nobody that I know of that's out there right now that I'm dealing Andrew Painter for. And I know Matt Kelb mentioned Juwan Duran, who I'd be all over, just not for Andrew Painter. If they can find another way to get him, I'd be all over that. I would love to get Duran. I'm not giving away Andrew Painter. He's not even on the table for me.
Well, I don't know if you could say he's the best pitching prospect they've had in your life. I mean, Cole Hamels was a pretty heralded pitching prospect.
I think he's a better prospect than Cole.
You think so? I mean, what are the odds, though, that Andrew Painter has anywhere close to the career Cole Hamels has? Well, I don't think very good.
Oh, really?
No, I mean,
I think there's a pretty damn good chance that he does. I mean, like, if you're talking
Hamels
about...
Cole Hamels was an unbelievable pitcher for like a decade.
Sure, if you're talking about accomplishments in terms of winning a World Series, I can't predict whether the Phillies will win a World Series with Andrew Painter, but I think he could come up and be just as good, if not better, than Cole Hamels.
And we'll see, but if I want to get people's takes on that. 215-592-9494. Would you be willing to have Andrew Painter on the table at the trade deadline? I wouldn't. Again, I'm not giving him away. I'm not trading him for Byron Buxton or anybody like that. But if a scenario comes about where there's a real legitimate right-handed bat that can help you and can be controllable. But that's another thing that in the Matt Gelb piece was a part of this, is the Phillies aren't necessarily looking for rentals. They're looking for guys who are under club control long term. I think it would be wrong of the Phillies not to entertain every option. And some of that may have to do with dealing Andrew Painter, because it's about this year, man. I can't sacrifice this year for what Andrew Painter's career could be. I'm not willing to do that.
You don't think there's better ways to like middle that out? Like, I'd be more willing to trade Aiden Miller or like Justin Crawford.
More willing.
Right.
But I'm not going into it saying there's no chance I'm trading him. He's completely off the table.
So I'm not necessarily either, but Kyle Tucker's not available. The Cubs are a World Series contending team. If you were talking to me about Kyle Tucker and he had a lot more control than he does right now, like if he'd been signed, then yeah, I'd consider it. But like, I don't think there's a perfect player that's both young, controllable, and good enough for me to be willing to trade Andrew Painter right now. I'm not doing it for like a Brian Reynolds or like...
Oh, no, no way.
That's not what I'm saying. But like, we're talking about a contributing right-handed bat. Like, I'm not looking for somebody who's going to fill in this year and maybe give you a chance to win the World Series. Like, I would need somebody that's going to be a centerpiece. Like, Andrew Painter is going to be a centerpiece for this team. I would need somebody back like that in this kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of feels like to me. When I first got here and he was about to come up and unfortunately got hurt, it felt to me similar to when Strasburg was coming up. Now, he had more hoopla, but it felt the same to me. And I was always told, like, you can't have enough good pitching. And he feels like he's going to be a really good pitcher. So, yeah, he is a no for me. Not giving that guy up.
Part of it, though, I don't think we know all the guys that are going to be available yet. I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's going to shake out more in the next couple weeks. And I'm not saying I'm giving Andrew Painter away, and I'm not going to look to trade him. I'm not going to dangle him out there. But if a piece becomes available, if I'm convicted, this guy can be a legitimate difference-making player, and he's a guy who could be under control for years moving forward, I think it would be a mistake for the Phillies not to entertain every option, because you are in a win now position. You are a team that's built to win this year.
I mean, you listen, but I think it would have to be something that absolutely blows you away.
No question.
Because you got some really good pitching going on right now, and you're talking about trading one of your biggest prospects. I'm knowing that Ranger might leave. You don't know what Nola's going to be. I don't think that's a piece that I would entertain. I would listen to what people have to say, but realistically, I don't think I would trade him.
Yeah, and I think it's doubtful he does get traded. And let me be clear again, I don't want to trade Andrew Painter, but I do absolutely want to maximize this season. And if trading Andrew Painter is the way I maximize this season, because, hey, man, I don't know if we're ever going to be in a position where we have a pitching rotation this good again.
That's true.
I mean, there's a chance that might never be the case.
That's true.
Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez, three guys that all certainly could have been in the All-Star game this year. Your fourth spot, whether that's Luzardo, Nola, whatever, you have a team that is built to win now. And I think we all kind of agree this is the last year where this core is going to make a run at it. This is the last year that this core has a real chance.
It kind of feels like it.
I just think you got to at least consider it. And I think Painter's going to be great. We don't know that Andrew Painter is going to be great. And I'm not necessarily, comparing him to this guy. But you remember Kyle Drabek The guy the Phillies traded for Roy Halladay? I mean, Kyle Drabak at the time, it was like, this is a big deal. This is a huge deal for the Phillies to move on from this guy. And I'll be clear, Painter, I believe, is a much better prospect than Kyle Drabak, but they're prospects. We don't know. He's coming off Tommy John. Who knows if he has health concerns moving forward? I think it's something you at least need to consider.
Yeah, that was like just as much as an unknown as Andrew Painter is as a prospect. Are the guys who are available that can help you right now? Well, who's to say the guy that we trade Andrew Painter for doesn't end up not being a contributor at all? Like, that's a risk, too, that I think is a big part of this. I'm almost more confident in what Andrew Painter is going to be able to provide to this team in the future than I am any of these people that I know of that are available right now.
Right, and I'd agree right now. But right now, I think, is the key thing. Because the other day, we brought up the name Austin Riley. I don't know if he's going to get traded or not. I don't know if the Braves are going to be sellers or not. But say a guy like that becomes available, I mean, I'd be really tempted to part with Andrew Painter for a player like that.
Because you're antsy. You're a little antsy.
Perfect fit in the lineup. I mean, come on, man. I'm antsy.
You're a little antsy.
I'm not going to disagree.
I mean, but pitching's
at
a premium, man. You got it. Like, I just feel like, Rudy Morrow said this years ago, like, you can't have enough good pitching. And it feels like Painter potentially could be that guy.
Tell him, Douglas.
But we've had years where we've had great pitching. It doesn't matter because they can't score any runs.
Yeah, we got great pitching right now.
2011 and 2024.
Look like it's starting to turn the corner, though. It looked like it's going to turn the corner.
The pitching was unreal. 2011 was an unbelievable rotation. And they lost game 5-1 nothing.
You saw Bryce yesterday. Come on.
Yeah, well, we had
back.
Great offensive players that year.
Look.
So you think you don't even need a bat at the deadline? Are you good?
I didn't say that. Well, I don't think you need as big of an impact bat as some people are making out.
No, I think we need an impact bat. Impact bat.
Well, like somebody with some pop. Yeah, you can slide in there.
Pop is cool.
We'll see what Kyle has coming up at 12:30 in the Finish the Phillies segment. What prospect? Taylor Ward only got the other day, I think, from us.
I wouldn't mind it.
Hugh successfully guessed Taylor Ward, though.
He did. That was really impressive. I mean, that was the first day, too, so literally everybody was on the board.
Oh, yeah, it's going to probably fall off a little bit after that.
You're a baseball guy, Hugh. Let's go to Kevin in Philly. What's up, Kevin?
Kev!
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Kev? How you doing?
I'm good. Couple of things that I would. First of all, we need a bullpen. We need a bullpen stopper. If we have any sense of trying to compete at the highest level, we definitely need a bullpen stopper. Secondarily, we need a right-handed power hitter. We need a right-handed hitter. I mean, too often we've seen our folks come up there in situations where we can't get a runner home. Nobody out, man on second, middle, second, third. How many times do we have to see that before we decide we need a good hitter in our lineup? So those are the two things. The other thing I would say, if you think about the Phillies team, which is a good team, I'm not denying that, but think about the only players from my perspective who would be considered at the top of the chain in MLB are probably Schwarber, other than the pitchers, are Schwarber and Bryce. Nobody else would be in the top in their position. That's a problem for us. That's a serious problem for us. So my thing would be, everybody's on the table. We need a bullpen stopper first and foremost. And secondarily, we need a power right-handed hitter. Because while I think Castellanos is up and down, he's adequate. He's not consistent. I don't know what happened to Baum. I thought 2023, when he made the All-Star team last year, I thought he was coming out of his malaise, but doesn't seem to be. He's up and down too often. And then finally, before I let you go, I'm concerned about our defense, particularly our infield. When we have close games, which are going to be close when we play in the playoffs, we can't afford Trey to drop easy ground ball double plays or as many good plays as he makes, those routine plays in the tough situations. Scared me about our infield as we get down to the end of as we get to the playoffs, because you're going to have defense. I'm an old-time baseball guy, and I still believe wholeheartedly pitching and defense wins championships. Pitching and defense.
Yeah, I hear you, Kevin. I appreciate the call, but I don't know. I think we've gotten to the point where we talk about pitching so much that we diminish a little bit the fact that you need to score runs, man. You need a potent offense. Like, that's what's shown me. Like, why have the Phillies not advanced in the playoffs the last 2 years?
Mainly
because they couldn't hit in the biggest games.
Yeah, but most of that had to do with the fact that, to me, that we faced really good pitching, and you know, we couldn't move runners over because we were trying to swing out of the shoes. So if you correct that, I think you have a better chance. Because we've had some pretty decent pitching at times. It's just those games when you lose by one run. I think that's what's really annoying with it when you see it like that. So, yeah, I think that's what it is.
And that's the thing that frustrated me the most from the Mets series last year, though, is I didn't think their pitching was great. I mean, they went out and they went with Kodai Senga, who hadn't started a game, all season, essentially, in game one. Phillies, I mean, couldn't take advantage of that early, couldn't push any runs across. They go with, Jose Quintana in game four. That guy's not a great pitcher. They couldn't score. So I think pitching obviously matters a hell of a lot, but you need to be able to score as well. And that's why I think the Phillies need to address both here. You need to address the bullpen, and you need to address the lineup. But your thoughts on that, some of the rumors we throw out there, Manuel Clase, Steven Kwan, but really, would you be willing to have Andrew Painter on the table in a deal if it's the right deal? Again, I'm not giving him away, but I think you need to consider everything because you're going for it this year. That's at least the way I view it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Get some calls in on this next. Is Andrew Painter on the table for you at all this deadline? And reacting to Bryce Harper's big day yesterday, what it means for this team moving forward. Plus, we'll see if we can find a match for the Phillies when Kyle gives us an unnamed player that could potentially be a fit for the Phillies at the trade deadline. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Hatfield just dropped something real special. A marinated carnitas is boneless and it's a pork roast. It's tender, juicy flavor for days, people. This isn't your average pork roast. This is a next level pork roast. It's really, really good too. Had it the other day. Put it on some taco, the bread, the tortillas. Put it on some tortillas and it was really good.
Nailed it.
The new Hatfield marinated carnitas pork roast is perfect for Sunday dinner or whenever you want to feel like a hero without breaking a sweat. That's why I put them on the tortillas. Trust me, you're going to want to grab one. Put some pork on your fork. Hit up simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Hatfield, better care, better pork. Tortillas!
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. You want to get in 215-592-9494. How you doing the show? Talking a lot about the Phillies today. Bryce Harper, massive day yesterday. But did it make you feel better about the team as a whole? I think we all feel better about Bryce. Bryce goes 4-for-5. A homer, 3 doubles. But does it make you feel better about the Phillies as a whole, talking about that? And also in the last segment, trade deadline reports. A few interesting pieces of news coming out this morning. Jeff Passan of ESPN, not necessarily a piece of news, more of a speculative thing, that Emmanuel Clase, Steven Kwan could be available with the Guardians. I like Kwan a lot. I think he'd be a guy that would fit well into the Phillies lineup. Not a guy that will provide a lot of power, but I think you could slot in as your leadoff guy. You can move Trey Turner to 2, would lengthen things out a lot. Bryce could hit 3rd as he likes to do. Then he could have Schwarber cleanup. That would be an interesting name. But Matt Gelb's report I found especially interesting.
What's that?
That the Phillies are going to be willing to do more at this deadline, that they're going to be willing to sacrifice more of the high-end prospects. And the way he phrased it exactly is the Phillies are willing to buy at more of the higher end of the market this year than they've been in the past couple of years, where it's been more, lower level, bargain bin type guys, that they're more willing to go for a big name this year. And I'll tell you what, Hugh. I'm expecting them to. I think they need to go out and make a couple big splashes. And the question we're asking, should Andrew Painter be on the table? Would Andrew Painter be on the table for you? He would be for me. Now, I'm not giving him away again, but if a name comes out there, if there's somebody you think could be a difference maker, be here for a few years of team control, I would do it for a player like that.
You know what's funny when you said like that, TK? And he's saying that it feels like they're more willing to go in to get that guy. It sounds like they might be entertaining the fact that Painter might not be here. And the fact that there's a lot to do or a lot being said about him coming up early in the season and they've been holding him back. Maybe they don't want people to see him so that he is still a hot commodity. There's a lot to parse when you think about this story and now that this has come out. So maybe that is the case. To me personally, I still wouldn't want to do it, but if you feel strongly that this team has a chance to make it to the World Series, then why not?
Yeah, man, and I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to trade Andrew Painter because he could be the ace of the staff for the next 5 to 10 years. But number one, we don't know that. I think with prospects, even one as good as Andrew Painter, we sometimes act like it's a certainty. It is not a certainty.
No, nothing's guaranteed.
That he's going to end up being great. I think the odds would be on his side, but you got to go for it now, man. You got to go for it now. Instant gratification. Go get me a bat. Go get me a bullpen arm. Let's
said,
do it.
Go for it now. Didn't
but I want to be gratified, guys. I want to be gratified here.
The problem with that is we talk about the uncertainty with Andrew Painter as a prospect. Totally agree. I understand that. But even if there was a guy on the table, say like a Juan Soto caliber player, which there isn't,
well,
by the way, or a Kyle
guy,
Tucker
yeah.
caliber player, even if you did get that guy, you're not guaranteed a World Series anyway.
No, nothing's
you're guaranteed.
You could lose
anything.
Your future, get this guy, and still not win the World Series.
I'm totally aware of that. Totally aware of that.
Are but you?
Yes.
He's okay with
that. I need to give myself the best chance.
He wants to make a move.
I mean, if you made a move 2 years ago, I think you definitely would have won the World Series. If you made a move at the 2023 deadline, you would have won the World Series. And again, I'm not saying I'm giving Painter up, but if somebody becomes available that you think could be that guy, you got to at least consider it. I mean, we're not talking about do it or not do it. We're talking about even consider it. You got to consider it.
And I think you do take the phone call. And if it's something that you honestly feel is going to make your team better, then yeah, why not?
And I just got to, real quick, before we get back to the phones here, I need to express how disappointed I am in Kyle this week. I really am. Like, this perspective vacation Kyle has not been the person that I've come to know.
I don't give a shit.
I thought Kyle would be the guy.
He's recharged his battery and he's come back a new person.
Go get me a guy at the deadline, Kyle. Bryce has one good day. I'm all the way back. Sunshine and rainbows. Like, what happened to the Kyle Quinn that I knew?
Been hanging out with me.
I think this
long.
Is coming from a place of
practical Kyle.
No, I believe in this team more than you. So, if you're willing to give up a player like Andrew Painter, you're looking at a bigger swing than I think that they need to potentially win the World Series.
Well, I would disagree. I do believe in the team. That's why I'm willing to do it.
Mm.
I'm willing to do it because I do believe. If I didn't think they had a chance, then no, I'm not trading Painter. But I think they have a chance to win it all this year.
I got my eye on you.
All right. Well, you
he didn't take the pledge.
now I'm just uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
The way Kyle said that.
He said,
you know,
he said
I got my eye on you.
You ain't take the pledge.
All right.
That's what that is.
Yeah, I didn't take the pledge. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Ryan in Somerset. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Really quick, I agree. Kyle's right on this one, fellas. You do not trade Andrew Painter. I know. I do think we are a bat is what we need. But Painter's one of those guys, I'm telling you, when he made the comment before about Cole Hamels, I love Cole Hamels. Cole's a legend in the city. But Painter is actually a better prospect than Hamels. And I actually do not give up Aiden Miller either. Painter and Miller are both on the table because, yes, the team can win the whole thing. I do believe in it. I do think a bat is what we actually need. However, those two guys are off the table. Painter, you're going to regret it in 5 years if you get and let this kid go. Aiden and Miller are the same way. They're legit. The two of them are legit, Utley and Hamels, for the next generation. I think smart organizations don't move guys like that.
Well, Ryan, I hear you on Painter. Like, I get the disagreement on Painter. I will say I think we massively overrate Aiden Miller because he's in the Phillies farm system. Like, I mean, to compare him to Chase Utley, I think is crazy.
I'm telling you, if you look at their this isn't just being a fanboy. If you look at outside scouting sources, they're saying Miller's one of the most legit prospects we've ever had. And I've seen the kid play. I know he's in the minors. I get it. I know he's up to a little bit of a struggling start this year. But it's both of them, Painter and Miller. We have not had prospects like this probably since Utley and Hamels. That's how good these two guys are. Unless Kyle was saying, unless Soto's out there, which he's not. Unless a guy like that's coming back, I'm not giving up either one of those two guys. So we will regret it. We, as smart organizations, I want to keep this thing going for 5-6 years. I guess 2013 through 2017 scarred me a little bit. I don't want to go through that again. And I just think it wouldn't be very smart to get rid of either one of those two guys.
I hear you, Ryan, and I appreciate the call. But the thing is, because a lot of people bring up what Ryan just brought up there, 2013, 2017. The biggest misconception is that that era happened because of the Phillies trading their top prospects in 07-11.
That's the bad era of baseball.
Yeah,
in Philly for a while.
But that wasn't because of the trades Ruben made. I mean, the trades the Phillies made in those years, really none of those prospects turned out to be much. The best guy he ended up trading was Carlos Carrasco, mm-hmm. who was like a middle of the rotation guy. The bigger issue is that they didn't replenish the farm system. The way I look at it, if you're confident in your scouts and you're confident in your organization, you're confident that you can replenish those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you also don't want to have those, what was it, 2012, 2013, in those years, you don't want to have those lean years, man, because, you know, a lot of people credit Bryce Harper when he came here for basically bringing baseball back to Citizens Bank Park. And when you have these young guys that are in your farm system that people are excited about, you know, these guys are starting to show signs of age, and you want to try to win a World Series, but you don't want to leverage your future. And that's basically what we're talking about. How comfortable are you pushing all in for a World Series victory and having those lean years like you had before? Because I wasn't here, but I heard it was pretty bad around these parts. I heard people weren't going to the games like that. It wasn't a fun place to be.
It was a bad era.
Yeah, yeah. I call it myself because I was in Atlanta, and I call it a Odubel Herrera era.
Oh, yeah. It was the Odubel era.
I mean, he's kind of the face of that era.
No, I'm saying, I mean, and I'm not trying to bring back bad memories for anybody, but when I was down there, that's kind of how I remember it because he was supposed to be that guy.
Those 5 years, was Odubel Herrera the best player, like the best position player on the team?
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
I mean, you had Ryan Howard here, but he was not good anymore.
Yeah, because that was on the heels. Because Ryan came after he left here. I think he came to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out there.
That wasn't awful. I mean, Cameron Rupp, Cody Ashe. It was a lean.
Yeah, that's what I remember, man. And I was just like, wow. Because I remember how great it was. Baseball is here and how many, you know, great baseball fans there are. But I just that's what I remember about that era.
I feel like I've totally like blocked that era out of my mind.
I think everybody else did too. I think I just gave everybody PTSD.
Like I totally forget about it.
I brought it up.
But okay, Painter, I understand disagreements on that. But I'm trying to find middle ground here, guys. Can we all agree that for the right deal, you trade Aiden Miller, right? Like Aiden Miller's on the table here.
Yeah, I mean he's more on the table for me than Painter is. I just when I'm looking at how the pitching staff projects in the future, I think they're going to need Painter more than they're going to need Aiden Miller.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you, Hugh? You
I'm
down to trade
that. I'm pitching. For me, you can't have enough pitching. And, you know, you're getting some really good pitching. You know, Ranger might be gone. So, yeah, you need that.
Think about this. In 2 years, after 2 years, you could be looking at no Zach Wheeler, retired. Aaron Nola maybe sucks. Right? Who knows?
Yeah.
With the way
he's Aaron Nola. Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Rangers Suarez is gone. Lizardo has 1 year left on his deal.
He's going to get extended.
Maybe. We're talking about just Christopher Sanchez and maybe Lizardo, really? And a worn down version of Aaron Nola? You need Andrew Painter badly.
Sanchez is an ace. There's your ace.
Okay. But then you're talking about you have Sanchez, who you know is for sure going to be here in 2 years. And then Aaron Nola, who you do also know is going to be here for sure in 2 years. You don't know that about Lizardo. You don't know that about Ranger. And you don't know what version of Aaron Nola that is.
Got
the pitching staff could look barren very quickly.
But, I mean, we're talking about 2 years down the line. We still got 2 good years left to Wheeler. Develop other pitchers.
Oh, okay.
You can develop other guys.
It's just that easy.
It should be. It is for other organizations.
Look at Mick Abel. Dude, he stinks.
It doesn't feel like it's as easy as you making it out to be, TK.
All right. So be it. My God, I'm just so frustrated with you guys.
It just doesn't feel like it's that easy.
Make a trade. Come on, man. Don't you want some excitement?
I'm excited.
Bring in a big name. Bring in a stick.
Yeah. All right. You got me there, I guess.
Let's go to Joey in South Jersey. What's up, Joey?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What's up, man?
Good. I just wanted to talk about the whole trade deadline situation. And unfortunately, I agree with Tom in this aspect.
Unfortunately.
If it were the right move, I would trade Painter. He already had a surgery. He's already had Tommy John. So he hasn't even been up to the majors yet. He's already struggling this year, as we can see. You know, he was talked about getting called up after the All-Star break. And now you see all his reports out. He's letting up 5 runs a game. So that's not guaranteed in an aspect there. And then if you talk about Aiden Miller, you don't know, you don't really know what you're going to do with Stott yet. Has Stott proven enough to sign a long-term deal? Like, he doesn't hit on the offensive end. So it's like, I mean, if you get someone like I heard you guys talking about earlier, like Stephen Kwan and Klasse are both potentially available. If you could find a nice trade package for that, Stephen Kwan's been an all-star before. He's proven he can hit. He is a left-handed hitter, which, I mean, that's where we'd be really, really heavy left-handed hitters. But I don't really know any other big right-handed bats that are available via trade. So.
Yeah, and I think, Joey, and I appreciate the call, I think it's going to come down to what happens in the next couple weeks. Like, again, I don't think we know everybody that's on the table yet. I think more bats are going to become available as the trade deadline approaches here. But what do you guys think of Kwan? Because he's not a guy who necessarily fits the profile of what the Phillies would need. I mean, we're looking for a right-handed power bat. He's more of a left-handed leadoff type guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would really work well in this lineup. What do you think of a guy like Stephen Kwan, Hugh?
I mean, he fits the age criteria. You are getting a little younger because I think he's, 27 years old?
Mm-hmm.
How long is he under contract?
He's under contract for another few years. I mean, okay. You'd have some time with him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that would be somebody. So, what you moving Trey time? Where would you put – where are we batting Trey if we got Kwan leading off?
I think you'd go Kwan 1, Trey 2, Harper, Schwarber.
Okay.
And then, I mean, you have a pretty long lineup at that point. Then Bohm, Castellanos is your six-hole hitter. That makes it look a whole lot better than it does right now.
Yeah, but what are we giving up? You were talking about giving up Painter to get him, right?
Well, if you're just going for Kwan, I don't think you'd need to
you
give
need,
up
yeah,
Painter.
Okay.
I think Miller would probably highlight that package. Now, if you're going for Class A and Kwan, you're probably giving up a ton. Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Painter's a no-brainer.
The other thing about it is, like, a reliever is not enough for me. They're so up and down year
Agreed.
To year that, like, a reliever's not enticing me to give away my best starting pitching prospect.
And especially Klasse, he has had some miserable postseason moments. Like, the Yankees really got after him in the postseason last year. So that would concern me as well. But now it is time, before we get back to the phones here, to finish the Phillies roster. Kyle will set the table for us, and we'll pick a prospect. So who do we
Let's
got here?
Make a deal.
All right, fellas. Day two. Yesterday we did a bat. Today we're doing a reliever, a closer, actually, a guy who has a closing role on a team already. This guy is 30 years old, in the final year of his deal, so he's going to be a free agent after this season. Now, not 100% sure if this team's going to be willing to sell because they are in the hunt for the playoffs, but if they don't believe that they're a true World Series contender, I don't believe they are, then they still might be willing to make a deal and send this guy away. This season, he's got a 3.19 ERA as a closer. 18 saves, but last season led all of the majors in saves. All the majors. He had 49.
Okay.
This guy has pretty powerful stuff. He regularly hits 100 miles an hour plus with his fastball. So he can blow you away. Gets a lot of strikeouts. Not too many walks. We as Philly fans are pretty familiar with this guy. We've seen him in a playoff situation before.
Okay.
And I don't believe he's going to cost that much because of, one, his age, the contract situation. And Jim Bowden recently speculated that this may only take a package of potentially the sixth and ninth best prospects in the Philly system to go and get this guy.
Okay.
Are you interested, fellas? Yes or no for this type of player for that type of cost?
So he rent a player.
I am interested in this player. I'm interested
to rent. So wait a minute. You said
this is his final year. Yep,
final year. Mm-hmm. Not giving up any of our major prospects.
Nope.
I mean, that sounds doable.
Yeah, and he's a closer. I think this guy's better than what we have at the back end of our bullpen right now.
Okay.
Yep.
I think I know who it is.
You're in. TK?
Yes.
You're in, Hugh?
Yeah, I'm in with that.
All right. TK, would you want to guess who it is?
Is it Raisel Iglesias?
It's not Raisel Iglesias.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
I was barking up the wrong tree
Yep,
here.
You were. So this actually was a guy that we saw in the 2022 postseason.
Oh, I know who it is.
did not go well for him, but I think he was dealing with a little bit of I think he had something going on with his finger or something in the playoffs. Now you know who it is?
Yes. Okay. Ryan Helsley.
It is Ryan Helsley.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, maybe not his best season this year, but definitely a guy that I think could contribute in this bullpen in a big way.
Hasn't he been pitching better lately? He got off to an awful start,
yes.
I think.
Yep. And I think he's picked it up a little bit since then. So that could have a lot to do with the ERA. But again, powerful arm, big strikeout guy. And probably slides in as the best reliever on the team if you go get him, and to not cost that much.
That's pretty dope.
I think I'd be into
it. I like it. The one thing, and you know, you mentioned that they're in it now. The Cardinals only a game and a half out of the wild card. So for them to sell, I think they need to have a few bad weeks here. They have a couple good weeks.
Yeah.
They might be in the buyer's market.
Yeah. But again, like, even if they are going to make the playoffs, do they view themselves as a team that can win the World Series? Like, and if they don't, maybe they're like, you know, I'm going to be willing to part ways with this guy.
Right. There are so many teams that are in that area. It's
right.
just so weird.
You mean the sweet spot of, like, we still might have a chance type deal? Yeah, that's what's going to make it hard.
So it depends on if they're fooling themselves or not.
Yeah.
That's always what's tough about the deadline.
It is. And it's even more complicated now with the extra playoffs. And, I mean, last week, Preston Mattingly was on the pregame show with Murph and was kind of saying that exact same thing. He's like, our jobs are a lot harder now because you don't even know who's really available until, like, 5 or 6 days before the deadline. So I think that's going to be one to monitor, though. But if the Cardinals fall out of it, yeah, I'd like a Helsley, Hugh. I think he'd fit nicely.
No, I think he would, too.
Bullpen.
And you're not going to have to give up a whole lot to get him. You know, rent a player. You know, give up some of your later prospects. So, yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I like that one. So Ryan Helsley. A guy who could be an option for the Phillies, guy the Phillies got to a few years ago. Let's go to Trust. What's up, Trust?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? How are you?
Hey, how you doing today, man?
I'm chilling, man. I just wanted to ask a quick question to two quick questions to Hugh. Who is tough? I wanted to ask the Phillies point, but I wanted to ask Hugh real quick. Who was tougher for you, Eric Williams or Walter Jones?
Oh, I've never really played against Big E.
Okay.
I played against him in college, and he was my nightmare. But Walter Jones was legit, man. You talking about Big Walter from Seattle?
No doubt. I'm a Florida State fan, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, Walt was nice, man. Walt was nice. He was nice.
Okay. And what's your opinion of Aaron Glenn this upcoming season with the Jets?
I think he's going to do a good job. I mean, even though we don't really talk Jets football on this station, I mean, he is a teammate of mine.
Yeah,
I think he's going to do a good job, man. Plan on going up there, you know, since Auntie got her nephew up there. I'm probably going to go up there to a couple practices and check him out.
Leave that woman alone, man. And as far as the Phillies, nothing's really going to change. Nothing has changed as far as 22, 23, and 24. It's been the bullpen. It's been the bats going cold. It's said on the station every time we talk about the shortcomings of this team. So I don't see what's going to change. I would like them to see get Mullins from Baltimore or Batista, the reliever. But I don't know what you guys – I know you guys think – that they're going to make it. I don't.
Yeah, I think a lot of it does depend on what they do in the next few weeks here. I mean, I think they need to add a bat, and I think they need to add at least one reliever.
Yeah. I would also like them to get, I forget the bat out in Arizona. I forget the name.
Suarez.
I would like to see him too. But if they don't get a bat, it's just going to be the same thing, and we're going to be sitting here in October, you know, during the Eagle season, saying what happened. Oh, it's the same old thing, bullpen and the bats.
Yeah, I hear you, Trust, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And yeah, I mean, Johanna Suarez, the guy that he's talking about there, third baseman from the Diamondbacks. But again, little position overlap there with
so
Bone.
Yeah, I was about to say you're getting rid of Bone then, right?
Well, the problem is if you play Suarez at third, then you need to probably move Bone back to first and move Bryce to the outfield. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. Or you play Suarez at third and you DH Bomer Harper.
That's a lot. It sounds like a lot of movement.
Right. And then you're putting Schwarber back in the outfield. You don't want to do that either.
So that's a lot of movement.
That's the problem. Defensively, I think Suarez wouldn't make a ton of sense, unfortunately, because offensively, he'd work out pretty well. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to all your calls on all this Philly stuff in the final hour of the show, reacting to Bryce Harper's huge day, and if Andrew Painter is on the table for you at all in a trade by the deadline. That's all coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP.